masjid. All it requires is a niyat. Person has a niyat. If he spends 1 hour in the masjid, he gets the 1 hour nafil i'tikaf, thawab. The sunnat i'tikaf, as we know, is the last 10 days of Ramadan, which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Sahaba radiallahu anhu said regularly, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it was his continuous sunnat to sit in i'tikaf in the last 10 days of the month of Ramadan, starting from the 21st from Maghrib till the moon is sighted for Shawwal. There are great rewards that are mentioned in the hadith. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that the person that is in i'tikaf, he is in i'tikaf and staying away from sins. And every moment in i'tikaf, he is getting reward for carrying out various forms of ibadah that he would have been able to carry out had he not been in the state of i'tikaf. All the good deeds that are happening outside the masjid, he is getting the rewards for those good deeds, even if he's sleeping. His deeds are ticking on. And Hazrat Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu says, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever sits in i'tikaf for a day seeking the pleasure of Allah, Allah will place between him and the fire of Jahannam 3 trenches. Each trench is as vast as the distance between the east and the west. So for every day in i'tikaf, he will get this reward. The rules for i'tikaf are well understood. A person has to remain within the boundaries of the masjid unless he needs to leave for some natural reason, relieving oneself, person's wudu has broken, person needs to make wudu, a person had a wet dream and he needs to go and make a ghusl. So for these reasons, a person can leave the masjid. A person can also leave the masjid to pass wind. He needs to break wind, his wudu will obviously break, so he can leave the masjid for that purpose. If he is in a place where food is not easily found, no one brings him food to the masjid, he doesn't have food in the masjid, he needs to go and fetch food outside the masjid. Maybe if he was in the Haram Sharif, for example, and there's nobody to now come and serve him in the masjid, then he is allowed to leave to get his food, and then he can come back in the masjid thereafter. Person is not allowed to take a bath just to cool off, and he's not allowed to leave the masjid for any other reason, except for these reasons that we explained. The ulama explained that a person, if he goes to the toilet, then he need to make wudu. So in a very quick time, if he takes a quick shower after relieving himself, making istinja, it's mentioned here also, if he takes a quick shower, that will be permissible, that will be allowed. But generally, just to leave the masjid for a sunnah ghusl, or just to leave the masjid for a bath, that won't be permissible for a person to do those activities. For a woman to make i'tikaf is also permissible, but within a home, in a designated area. It's nice to revive these sunnats to explain to the woman. Some women, mashallah, they have the habit of staying within the home, not going anywhere. So we can give them some of the virtues and see how we can encourage them at home to also get the opportunity to sit in i'tikaf. The same rules will apply to them. Like, for example, if a woman is at home, say it's an old woman or staying alone, and there's nobody to prepare her food, then she'll be allowed also, obviously, to go to bathroom and all that, and then she'll be allowed to also go and prepare her food also, because it's a necessity for her. Once I was sitting with Mufti Siraj Desai Sahib, I was sitting in i'tikaf, and I didn't realize, I just left the masjid, I needed soap. I went for the soap, then I thought about it, that I just did this action. So Mufti Sahib, he said, see, it was a need, it was a necessity. So he gave me the fatwa. I said, no, it's jais, permissible, because you had a need and there was no one to fulfill your need at that time. So you had an urgent need to go out of the masjid boundaries and to come back in. But if a person stepped out of the masjid by mistake, he didn't know. He stepped out by mistake, he didn't realize. Once we were in a certain masjid, and the roof of the masjid is also masjid. So there was serving some savories, etc. They were serving on the roof of the masjid. It was quite a big, large gathering. So on that day, they had it on the roof. So anyway, now on the roof, there's no boundaries. You can't see the boundaries of the masjid. So I was outside. I stepped out because you don't know where the boundaries now. So this one Maulana asked me, i'tikaf, sunnat i'tikaf or nafil i'tikaf? I said, sunnat, so he grabbed me and pulled me in. But the masla is, when you step out of the masjid and you're in sunnat i'tikaf, even if it was a mistake, then your etikaf breaks. Etikaf breaks means now that sunnah now is not fulfilled, and you will have to make qada of one day. So in Ramadan you can do it, from example Maghrib to the next day Maghrib. You will sit in etikaf now, in qada for that one day, that sunnah, niyat you had for that one day, that you broke, that the sunnat i'tikaf that broke, you will make qada of it. So that is how qada will be made. Likewise, the woman folk, if they are in i'tikaf and they experience the menses, then the i'tikaf will obviously break. So these are some of the rules regarding the i'tikaf itself. In i'tikaf, a person should not conduct any business unless it's out of necessity. There's some need. Then he can phone someone also if he has some need, if he needs to do some important business matter, whatever it is. Then in the i'tikaf, if he needs to do it over the phone or call someone out of need and necessity, then that will be allowed and that will be permissible. For example, say someone needs to buy some medicine for himself, he needs something urgently, then he can phone and he can request that for that to be brought to him. Then the sadaqatul fitr. Sadaqatul fitr is wajib, compulsory for every person, whether he is fasting or whether he is not fasting. And it will be compulsory on a father for his minor children also to discharge the sadaqatul fitr on behalf of them. And that sadaqatul fitr now, I think, 30 rands. The Jamiatul Ulama calculated, if I saw correctly, was 30 rands. So the work on that wheat flour, the price of wheat flour, about 1.6 kilos of wheat flour, whatever is the going rate in the market, they work on that and then they give that amount. If a person wants to give the actual wheat or barley, as explained in the hadith, he can do that. If he wants to give the amount, then he can do that. And it is only compulsory if a person has the nisab with him on that day, but the nisab here refers to anything that is over and above his necessities, not the nisab of zakat. So if a person has extra items in his house, and those items all equal to the nisab, then on that day, then it will be compulsory for him to give the sadaqatul fitr. And sadaqatul fitr will be given to the poor Muslims, those that can take zakat, will give them sadaqatul fitr. And it should be discharged before the Eid Salah. More virtuous, more reward if a person discharges it in the month of Ramadan. Great rewards you will get. And it is better also because the whole object of the sadaqat al-fitr is it can be a way of assisting the poor to have something on the day of Eid. Muslims will have some extra cash. That is why they say you don't have to give one person one fitrah. One person 30 rands, no. You can give one person from all the fitrah money that's collected, you can give him 1,000 rands. So he can take that 1,000 rand, he can buy something for the children, he can enjoy himself on the day of Eid. And it's also permissible to distribute it among many people, that is permissible, but not after the Eid Salah, before the Eid Salah. However, this remains compulsory on a person if he hasn't discharged it, till death it's compulsory on him to discharge it. If he didn't discharge it, then he will be sinful. So the ulama say that these should be kept in mind. If a person is discharging on behalf of his wife, then he should take her permission before he discharges it. Non-Muslims should not be given sadaqat al-fitr. Just like zakat is not given to non-Muslims, and sadaqat al-fitr cannot be given to non-Muslims. And that concludes the general masail that pertain to sadaqat al-fitr and the masail that pertain to i'tikaf. Someone asked me about fidya. Fidya is the same amount as sadaqat al-fitr, 30 rand for each day that a person cannot fast. If a person has a chronic illness and the doctor said that if he fasts, he will get very sick or he might die also, like diabetes, certain stages of diabetes, whatever it is, and he cannot fast. The person is very, very old, extremely old, and he cannot fast. If they're going to fast, they're going to get very, very sick. They might end up in hospital. They are very weak. So in those cases, with these type of people, they will discharge the fidya for each fast that they cannot keep, one sadaqatul fitr amount, so 30 rands. So if it's 30 rands times 30 days, it will be like 900 rands that they will discharge. So someone asked me just 2 days ago, Can the Sadaqatul Fitr be given before Ramadan? So the ulama say, before Ramadan is not compulsory on you. So you can't discharge it before that time. You can't fast before Ramadan, for Ramadan. So you can't give the fidya before Ramadan. You have to give it in or at the end of Ramadan. Person will give the fidya. If someone happens to recover, say someone recovers from his illness, or an old person became strong now, he regained the strength and he can fast, then the ulama say, even if he discharged his fidya, he must still fast for that which he can fast, and whatever fidya he gave, then he will receive the reward of giving that as charity. Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq, understanding, to make amal. Subhanallah.